Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the December 4th meeting of your Ferndale City Council. We are glad you're here. Let's stand together for the salute of our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Have a seat. We will now have the roll call with our city clerk.
Councilmember Czar.
Here.
Councilmember Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Watson.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Kennedy.
Here.
Thank you. We're all here. And we now move on to item A, which is public comment. Ladies and gentlemen and young people from the high school, this is a chance for you to come up and speak to your city council on anything that's not on the agenda. If you want to know what the agenda is, you can find it online at our city homepage, or up front we have paper copies. So if the item you want to talk about appears later in our busy evening, wait till then. But if something that's not on the agenda, you can come up right now, one at a time. Just tell us who you are and where you live and tell us what's on your mind. We'll give you 3 minutes. Welcome.
Hello.
Good to see you.
My name is Loretta Sheldon. And I'm actually just stopping by on my way home tonight to thank you for listening to me last time I came to the council when I wanted to make a point that the arts bring the citizens closer to activity and getting involved in their city and bring vibrancy to our lovely town. So, thank you.
Well, thank you for your participation on the Arts Commission. We're glad you're there.
Would you like to say a few words about the workshop?
Yes, I would. I have, speaking of active participation, we have a workshop coming up on the 16th, Saturday, at the Ferndale Library, and it's to learn how to make mosaic-framed mirrors that are suitable for gift-giving. Cost you only $5, which will go to your Ferndale Arts Commission. And I only have 2 people signed up so far. It's a class of 20, so tell your friends and neighbors.
We still have room.
Yes. So there you go. Okay. Coming up soon. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Loretta.
Thank you.
Thank you, Loretta.
Come more often.
Okay.
Okay. Next up, Mr. Black, welcome. Oh, Mr. Black. Mr. Barton. Excuse me. Barton said, excuse me.
Better than that.
You're from a distance.
Yeah, I'm Steve Martinson. The address and that, or 5909 Artist Drive in Ferndale. And I own the True Value store next door. And I'm getting kind of concerned about the traffic light out there. I have no idea what the plans were, other than originally we were told it was an experiment. Well, they built the bridge out of Slater, and that was fine. It's a good idea to try things, but I kind of feel that it really hasn't worked out all that good, especially not for me. Tell you kind of the thickest head on my business. Every day I have people coming in asking when the light's going back up. Too many times it's accompanied with I'm not shopping here anymore because I can't turn left. I can't get out of here. I can't go back to the freeway. They can, obviously, if they want to sit there for a half hour. Or I've actually seen people drifting, which is kind of fun. You know what that is, the floor of the car and get out, which is not the safe way to do it. Occasionally during the day it's not that bad sometimes, but there are times when you just can't leave the park lot. And I don't know, people coming from the senior center, central school, things like that, they'll have the same problem if they want to go that way. People just don't let them in. Like I said, it's too often, so I'm not going to be here anymore. I had a person the other day just said, I really thought about not coming in. I didn't want to. I mean, it's affecting me. I'm sure that the thought was that the people would adjust to the traffic, the problems and that, and unfortunately they have adjusted by not shopping at my store anymore. Effect on business, when the bridge started we had 7 people. It's just not a big store, it's a small store. We have 4 people now. The traffic count is down substantially. Your sales are down over 12% every month since that happened. Like I say, it's a to try something out is fine, but hopefully we haven't made any cast and concrete decisions yet. I haven't heard anything more about it other than originally it was just during the Slater thing, and then they make a decision. came home from vacation and the lights were coming down, but they can be put back up, hopefully. Whatever goes into Holly's, I know there's a pending sale. You know, if it's retail or whatever, it's just going to exacerbate it more. There'll be more traffic trying to get in and out. I know sometimes I've seen people out here trying to get on Main Street all the way over to Willens, because I'm not sure if that's a timing issue with the lights or whatever, but, you know, it's not, I don't think it's anybody's getting home any quicker than they were before. I mean, you just have another 300 feet till the first stoplight, and then instead of stopping where the stoplight was, you're stopping in the intersection, and so nobody can get out then either. So I don't know what the studies have happened. You know, I imagine they've tried to see if it's any quicker or not. And I just kind of feel, you know, people get home 2 minutes earlier. I hope it's not worth my business to, you know, have them get home 2 minutes earlier for dinner. I really don't see where there's a time savings in that. And I think it's a danger. Pedestrians, the funniest thing was one day we came out there, there's little buckets with orange signs or orange flags. And that's how you're supposed to get across the street, is wave your flag out in front of somebody. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen, and, you know, it ain't working. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Just hope you haven't made decisions. Consider that. I know there's several other people wanted to come tonight. I guess they chickened out or whatever, but we're thinking about a petition and whatever we need to do with this. Just have the customer sign, let you know what's happening, but I encourage you to put the lights back up when you can. Thanks.
Steve, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Response from staff. I know we're studying this right now.
Typical methodology with doing traffic counts is that we need to have the regular traffic patterns in place in order to do counts that are going to be representative of what the traffic patterns are. So we were dealing with a number of things. The county closure on Slater Road had significantly changed the traffic patterns within downtown. Led to additional traffic on Main Street for the people that were bypassing the detours out there. With that project concluded, our Third Avenue project concluded, we're kind of back to a regular traffic pattern. I've been talking with our transportation consultants on getting them back out to do another round of traffic counts, utilizing the same methodology as the traffic counts that we utilized prior to the removal of the light at First Street. To speak to the removal of the light, one of the issues that we had when we went forward with the trial on what to assess the viability of removing the lights was, remember, we went to the flashing yellow, which led to a significant amount of driver confusion, and I think quite a bit more driver confusion than we had anticipated was going to be the case. To eliminate that driver confusion and take that out of the equation, we removed the lights, although we still do have them. So if the studies show that it didn't produce a benefit, those could be reinstalled. Like I said, we're working with our traffic consultants. I'm hoping that February 5th we'll have the traffic consultant in to give a presentation on it to council. I've been kind of going back and forth with them on the scheduling of getting the traffic counts completed and then getting that information compiled so that we can come back and give a presentation to council. So I'll continue. I can keep you updated on when that's going to occur so that you can definitely show up at council and provide input on that at the time and be able to listen to our traffic consultants and the results of the study that we have going forward with that. But, you know, at least from my opinion at the Department for Public Works, I've made no decisions. I mean, I know anecdotally I think that it's improved the Main Street throughput, but that's still not yet quantified. So I think that, you know, going forward and getting those further traffic counts done, utilizing that same methodology and then getting an apples-to-apples comparison of the pre- and post-condition, we can look at that and then see what we need to do to address traffic concerns following that.
Yeah, so. I understand the need for trying something. That was fine.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to try something that benefits, has a not beneficial result, then, you know, hopefully we'll look at it good. And, yeah, when it first started, it was, you know, I don't want to say funny, but I mean, I never saw so many middle fingers and waving and cussing and even people pulling over and crying because people just understand. So taking the lights down were probably good because they don't see them anymore. They don't have to wonder what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But if they go back up, they know what they're supposed to do.
Yep. See, just one more thing. First of all, a lot of council might not know, you were a planning commissioner, and just your presentation shows an attempt to try to understand what we're trying to do with it, and it shows. I appreciate that. I'm just one person. As you know, I shop at your store. Mm-hmm. And today, this is just one point in time, one example. I wanted to experiment a little bit. Coming from the highway direction, it's pretty easy. It's a right turn. The other way is a little more of a challenge. So it was at about 10 minutes to 5 today, and I was happy to find that people let me make that left turn. And needless to say, I don't take a left turn leaving. But the right turn, it took a little while to make that right turn, but it didn't seem like any longer than a stop like would have been. People eventually said, I'll let this guy in. So as our public works director said, we're looking at the numbers and see what they show, whether it was really worth it or not.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I'm going to keep shopping there.
Now, turning right's not too bad. I mean, like you say, somebody lets you in, but to turn left, you got to have two people that are friendly.
You need a different direction,
Yeah.
Thanks for kind of stopping. You kind of any time.
Okay? Sure.
Thanks. Next up, public comment. Seeing none, we'll close the public comment. Next item is the consent agenda, and looking for council direction on that. Councilmember Harrell.
Make the motion that we approve consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded by Councilmember Hansen to adopt a consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The agenda has been adopted. Going now to item C, private developments update. And about once a month we have our associate planner, Haley Miller, and we are glad you spending tonight with us.
Oh, thanks.
Give us an update.
Good evening, City Council. I'm Mr. Mayor. My name is Haley Miller. I'm bringing forward to you tonight an update on current development happening around Ferndale. Each of you were provided with a map with current and upcoming developments, so if you have questions on any of those projects that we won't cover here, we can touch on that if you'd like. So the first project we'd like to show you is the Samuels Retail Center development. The building is up. It's near completion. It's located north of Main Street in the Samuels Furniture parking lot. This is a picture of the basic conceptual drawings that we received during the site plan review phase, which occurred last summer in June. So the building does look a lot like what was provided to us originally. They did change some of the materials for buildings that are invisible areas in the mixed-use commercial zone and downtown area. We require design review, so we believe that that met the design requirements for material variation and building articulation. Let me go to the next one. This is a site plan of the site looking down. You could go to the next one. This is zoomed in, so this shows the building. On the, I guess, left-hand side of that photograph is where the Starbucks tenant will be residing, and then next door they've identified Windermere as the tenant. So they submitted commercial building permits a couple months ago for this. With Starbucks, they actually, some of the corporations, they submit their own permits for just their side of the tenant permits. So we actually reviewed three different permits for this, the shell, the internal improvements for Starbucks, and for Windermere. Landscaping is required on this site along Main Street to screen the parking, and we did have them submit internal circulation studies on the site to make sure that the cars were queuing up in line and not in the way of the access points into the development.
Real quick, where are they going to exit from the drive-thru?
They can exit on either side. I think, Kevin, is there a barrier on the entrance?
Which
in
way you want them to?
No.
Oh, so they can actually enter and exit.
Yeah.
On either of those.
They submitted a detailed traffic study that analyzed the ingress and egress from the site, and we went with the recommendations of the traffic consultant that was retained for that project.
So it's okay. I mean, it's not like they're going to be forced to go back out. They can go either.
They could go either way, go that way, depending on which direction. If they want to hit the light, I would think they'd want to hit the light if they're going toward the freeway. But they can enter and exit on that other side, too.
But they can enter that way to go.
Yep.
Well, I guess you could because you have to get to Samuels.
Yep, right. So this project, The owner of Samuels Furniture owns the whole site, and they are submitting a lot line adjustment so they can carve this portion off to be a separate lot. So we're looking at that too. Go to the next one. This is the picture of the building. I kind of took the picture today. It was a little gloomy out, but that is almost done. I talked to our public works inspector today, and it sounds like they're less than a month out from getting occupancy. They're just working on all the final dressings and items for the building before they can move in and occupy it.
Councilman Wilson?
Are they going to have a, right there where the gravel is on the left, are they going to have a right turn only sign so they cannot come out of there and make a left turn?
I believe they're allowed to make left turns out of there. Right
Isn't
in, right out.
Double yellow line? it is a double yellow line.
You had a good point. That should be a right out. Without having a look at the drawings, making a left-hand turn out of that is you're too close to the stoplight.
I would take a look at the traffic.
Yeah, I could look at the traffic and see what signage requirements were on.
Typically,
yeah.
I think you have to
we can take
a
look at that. So that's all I have for Starbucks building. So the next one is switching gears a bit. It's an expansion to the Hemplers wastewater treatment plant project. So Hemplers is proposing to construct a wastewater treatment plant just for their facility to treat the water before it enters our system. Did you have just a brief background you wanted to maybe touch on? You're good. Or just be available for questions.
So just, I don't know if council is aware, but our sewer code, fee code includes a high strength surcharge for industries that produce a high strength effluent from their process. The Hemplers processing plant produces quite a bit of biological and chemical oxygen demand within the sewage treatment system, and the high strength surcharge puts a multiplier on their rate. So it's extremely expensive for them to dispose of their material through the sewer treatment system. So what they're looking at doing is installing a pretreatment system, a small sewage treatment works on site that will treat that waste prior to it being discharged to the system, so that it takes it down to what would be a regular strength discharge into our system and keeps them underneath that high strength surcharge threshold.
Is this proposed, or are they actually putting
They're actually building. We did pre-con, I believe, last week. They're out digging right now. So they work with the city, Mike Olinger.
Well, this was kind of a this project has been going on for quite a while. The high strength methodology was worked into our fee code, and then I know prior to my arrival they were working with Hemplers to get this process started and reach an agreement with Hemplers with which they would go forward with installing a pretreatment works. They retained an engineer and to design the system, as well as a component manufacturer to manufacture the small plant that will be installed at this location. Made various submittals through that process to the city for us to review the viability of their treatment process within the plant and discharging to our system. Then further needed to get permits from the Department of Ecology to operate that waste treatment operation, and then get everything lined up so that they can comply with our permit requirements, with the Department of Ecology permit requirements, building permit requirements, and everything to get the site operational. We completed the civil review maybe a month ago, and looking to get them into construction. But this has been something that's been ongoing now for about 2 years.
So if a brewery wanted to do it, they'd have to do the same. I know
the brewery doesn't have the same strength of discharge as what this operation does. And they have, it's that Hemplers process is interesting. They only discharge about half the amount that they bring in incoming water. As part of the water that is used within their plant goes out within the product that they're packaging. So our sewer methodology being based upon the water usage, they're being charged more for their sewer than they would, and so they're trying to get to a point to which they can manage that cost. Just the regular charges are about $20,000 a month for Hemplers within our system, so it's not an insignificant amount of money.
You could pay us in sausages.
A lot of sausage. It's good, but you might get bored.
Hey. So the third and final project is the Natural Way Chiropractic Center. So it's kind of a similar setup to what Samuel's proposed. It's a mixed-use building. The main tenant will be the Natural Way Chiropractic business. They reside on site, or they did reside on site previously, with a building that they demoed, I believe, last week or the week before. So they're moving into the new facility. They haven't identified the other tenants yet, as far as I'm aware, so I don't know who's moving in next to them. We'll find out soon, I'm sure. So that's a picture of their initial design concept for the project, and this is also located in the mixed-use zone, so we did have to go through a design review with these business owners. It's located in the floodplain, so they address that through retrofitting the building, and we'll make sure that it's elevated at the appropriate level. They are also close to getting, you can go to the next one, I don't know what's next. Oh, so that's a site plan showing the aerial view, and then this is a picture of the building. It's kind of fenced in right now. So this is a good example of our temporary occupancy policy that we just actually put into code. So with this project, the chiropractic center had scheduled a lot of appointments just because they thought they'd be open by a certain time, and it turns out they weren't ready. So they came in and worked with the city to get temporary occupancy to ensure the life safety elements were addressed. That ramp shown in that picture is actually, they worked with Public Works and our building department to put that in on a temporary basis, and then, of course, fence it off so they could demo the building. So they're in. They have temporary occupancy, and they just need to, you can go to the next picture, finish the parking lot, and then we'd be able to proceed with final occupancy with this tenant. So,
great. Yep. Nice-looking building. Question for staff. Councilmember Bursch.
Can you share with us the names of the two pharmacies being built?
One is RX Mart. I believe it's the same business that's located over on Sunset in Bellingham, and the other one, have they identified the name? It's just
Mark. Yeah, Mark told me what it was, and I can't remember off the top of my head. It was something substantially similar to RX Mart. You know, it might be like Drug Mart or something.
Yeah.
Right along the same line. But I know that Mr. Walker knows the business that's coming in there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
More questions of staff? Thank you, Social Planner Miller. Glad you're here. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Council, moving on to item D, which is a public hearing on Verizon Wireless Franchise Agreement. This comes around every few years, and we worked hard on this one. Mr. Burnett.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. And actually, by virtue of the fact that Council had adopted our global franchise policy, it did make the Verizon review quite a bit simpler. Where we see that Verizon followed closely with our franchise code, and we had a couple back and forth with them, but we recommend approval.
Very good. This is a public hearing.
It is. Yeah.
So we're going to get instructions on what that means from our city clerk. And there's another, might be a closing of a public hearing later, so these will apply for all public hearings tonight.
A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you were unable to sign up before the meeting, you will be given an opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name and address for the record and will be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group.
Thank you very much. And we'll open the public hearing at 6:23 and change. Anybody from the public would like to speak on the Verizon Wireless Franchise Agreement? That sounds pretty sexy, doesn't it? Anybody here use Verizon phone? So you probably want us to sign the agreement, don't you? Okay. We will close the public hearing at some change after 6:23. Council, what is your pleasure tonight? Question of staff? Councilor Hanson.
I'll move to approve the Verizon Wireless Franchise Agreement.
Second. They moved by Councilor Hanson, seconded by Councilor Taylor to adopt the Franchise Agreement Ordinance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay, and the agreement has been adopted.
Thank you, Council.
Moving on now to the main event, which is the adoption of a budget. We are required to adopt a balanced budget, and we either have this meeting or the next meeting to do that. We'll hope to do it tonight. So our finance director, Circa Salmon, why don't you lead us tonight?
So we are bringing to you staff.
Also by a public hearing, the final
right.
part of the public
right.
hearing.
A staff recommended 2018 budget. Now, I want you to remember that I know we can't please everyone, we can't put everything in, but we do budget amendments all year long, and you can always bring those to the committees and we can change things. So we do that every year, and so
and
this is what we've recommended,
for you.
And it's a balanced budget.
Yeah. Council, I might recommend a path forward probably is to make a motion on the budget itself and then go from there. We have a public hearing. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Anybody here to speak on the budget? We've opened the hearing, public hearing last meeting, and it's still open. Seeing none, we will then officially close the public hearing at 6:25 tonight. Council, what is your pleasure?
Motion to approve Agenda Bill 17-12004.
Second. It was moved by Councilmember Taylor and seconded by Councilmember Hansen and thirded by Councilmember Kennedy to adopt the budget. The budget is now in your hands, City Council. Councilmember Olson.
I'd like to add a $100,000 placeholder for the library air conditioning. Once we determine what we actually need, we have the money, it'll be in there. If we don't have to use it, then we don't have to use it. But at least we'll have it in there and earmarked for that.
I'll second that.
It's been moved by Councilmember Olson and seconded by Councilmember Watson to include a quote-unquote placeholder of $100,000 for the potential air conditioning unit for the Ferndale Library. Is there discussion on the amendment, just on the amendment, on the air conditioning? As council knows, staff thinks this is unnecessary and a little bit premature. We're meeting with a professional engineer this next week to assess whether our current library could be, in fact, cooler in the summer. See if we would run through its paces a little bit better, but you know all that. And you know the view of staff and the mayor as well. But is there discussion amongst yourself before you vote on that amendment? Okay. Council, you ready for the vote? This is simply a vote to include or not include. All in favor of including the $100,000 placeholder, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay.
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 The ayes have it, and the nays are Councilmember Taylor and Councilmember Kennedy. Thank you very much. Moving on to the budget. Other questions, comments about the budget before your final vote? Are you ready for the question? Council, you have before you the budget with the amendment of $100,000 for the library. All in favor of adopting the budget, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
It passes 6-1 with Councilmember Olson voting no. You've now adopted a budget, which means I don't think we'll have a meeting. We will probably not have a meeting at the end of the month, so that's good for everybody. Thank you very much, Council, for your hard work on the budget. Thank you, Finance Director Salmon, for your very, very hard work on this, and staff as well. I think the process went well this year. Going on now to item F.
Excuse me. May I just have a clarification on the 100,000? There's already 5,000 in there. Does that mean you want 95,000 extra, or you want 100,000, which makes 105?
Susan, how do we?
Well, the motion was to amend the ordinance to add.
You're at 105.
To add 100, so I would say that makes 105.
And I'm assuming that it would be in the same place it had originally been in, under REIT, because that's where you'd taken it from before.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
REIT 2, I believe.
REIT 2.
Thank you. Real estate excise tax money the city gets when people sell their homes. Very good. Thank you. We are talking about connecting Thornton Road with a piece of highway called Interstate 5, and we need to do some engineering. We just don't go out there on a weekend and put it together, do we?
No.
Talking about it.
A little bit more complex.
Public Works Director, Mr. Rentz, talk to us a little bit where we're at right now.
Thank you, Mr.
Mayor.
As council will remember, we've been working on the Thornton Overcrossing project as a goal for the department in the city for some time. We've been awarded $19 million through the state's Connecting Washington program, and we had gone out for an RFP previously for design services for the Thornton Road overcrossing. We'd originally selected an engineering firm by the name of Shear Design to complete that design. Shear Design had worked on the project leading up to and producing a 30% design for the project. Unfortunately, the project manager was Shear. Main engineer involved in the project left to go to another firm. and pending retirements at Shear Design meant that the firm was going to close prior to the construction of the project. When we're looking at doing a $20 million bridge project, we don't want to go into that project without the design engineers fully integrated into the construction project. So we made the decision to put it back out for RFP. We advertised a solicitation for firms to submit their request for proposals or request for qualifications. For engineering firms to submit their qualifications for the project, we did a review of submittals. We received two submittals, one from a firm named OTEC, well-known engineering firm that's done quite a bit of work, although not previously engaged with the city of Ferndale, and then also Reichardt and Eby submitted on the project. And as council, I'm sure, is familiar, we do quite a bit of work with Reichardt and Eby. The original design for that, the original design team that was established for the project was Shear Design working with Reichardt and Eby to perform. Shear was going to do the bridge structural component of the project. Reichardt and Eby was doing the civil improvements, both the roads leading up to the bridges and the infrastructure that's associated both storm and water and sewer with the project, as well as a number of sub-consulting firms engaged in it. Widener and Associates for doing environmental and permitting work, Pangeo doing geotechnical investigation, Compass Point Surveying, RES Group doing real estate work. When Reichardt and Eby put their proposal together to continue the project from the 30% going forward, the solicitation that they responded to, they compiled the same team of professionals that had been working on the previous design and incorporated a new structural engineer. A firm by the name of KPFF was brought in. KPFF has a longstanding reputation for being a quality firm producing good designs. I know that in my previous employment with Skagit County, they did quite a bit of work with KPFF and have always been pleased with the product that they've produced working with structural design. Reichardt and Eby has worked with KPFF on a number of other projects, and there's a good working relationship between that structural component and the civil design. We, like I said, got the submissions back, and then we did a series of interviews and selected Reichardt and Eby as the most qualified firm to produce that design. And I bring to you tonight a contract for Reichardt and Eby to complete the design for the Thornton Road overcrossing. They'll be picking up at that 30% design milestone and continuing on. The contract that's before you gets us through the plan specification and estimates for the project, as well as bringing up or bringing in all of the bid phase services that would be needed for the project, taking it out to the bid award portion, responding to requests for information through that bidding process. The contract amount is for $1,187,377.81. And then we would like to add a 10% contingencies for unforeseen design issues that come up that we may need to address during that.
In case our guests heard that number correctly, that's just for the engineering. That's not build our bridge. So.
No. So that brings a total requested amount for approval to $1,306,115.59. And that'll get us out to the bid award phase so that we can get a contractor selected and then move forward with the bridge. That also incorporates the assistance for the right-of-way acquisition portion of the project. So we'll be getting assistance in dealing with any kind of strip takes or property that we need to acquire for the project to go forward.
Councilmember Burch.
How much is the state, that's the funding from the state, how much is are we going to get up front?
So we were awarded the $19 million in a series of bienniums. The first chunk of money was $3 million in the last biennium. We have $1 million available in this biennium. A chunk of that $11 million, I believe, in the next biennium, and then $5 in the following biennium. So it comes in over a period of years. We've obligated funds at this point for the design portion of the project. So those funds are secured and obligated. So the money that's in envisioned it being spent underneath this contract is 100% reimbursable from that Connecting Washington money. As we go forward and we develop a right-of-way acquisition plan, we will submit that to the state for approval and obligate the funds for right-of-way acquisition, then can go forward with right-of-way acquisition underneath that Connecting Washington dollars. The last estimate that we had for construction costs with the project put it in about the $17 million ballpark. So we're in line with what we anticipate the funding to be. In the discussions that we had during the interview process with the structural engineer, they thought that there may be some opportunities for cost saving in the design of the bridge. There were some questions that they had about aspects of the 30% design that they thought they might be able to achieve that. So one of the first steps that we're going to be doing is, as we move into the full design, is to evaluate where we're at with the current design, see if there are any opportunities for modifying that to, you know, get it to fit within the $19 million that we have available.
Councilmember Kennedy, is that your hand up?
Yeah, go ahead. And, since this is going across the railroad tracks, does the scope of work included in here for, I think it's RES, does that include right-of-ways, acquisitions, easements, and
The RES subconsulting scope does not include interaction with Burlington Northern Santa Fe, but KPFF will be assisting with and have a good amount of expertise in the interaction with Burlington Northern Santa Fe. We actually can't get right-of-way from the railroad, but we can get permission to cross over the tracks.
Correct.
Yeah, and that is seen as one of the critical path components in the process going forward. I know that we have submitted the initial alignment to BNSF, but have not submitted 30% submittal to them. So there's a series of benchmarks that we need to go through with that BNSF interaction, getting the permission to cross the tracks.
Thank you. You're game on with that being your critical point. Thank you.
Councilmember Councilmember Olson.
I just wanted to say I want to make my last motion before the meeting's over.
We'll let you do that. I think that's what we agreed. Councilmember Olson.
I had the same question as Carol, but I think through all the words, we're spending state money. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. That's what I wanted to get. Did everybody hear that state money is not ours?
Correct.
Thank you.
The funds that will be expended underneath this contract are being reimbursed, and we have been doing a series of reimbursement requests and have been getting those costs back through the 30% design, and we'll continue to get that through the completion of the design for this. They are, in fact, not only reimbursing us for the consultant costs, but also staff time that's expended on that.
Thank you.
So as council staff knows, we've had a long and happy relationship with Rucker and EB. I don't know how long since I started serving on council. I thought Luis was a staff member when I first came in, sitting on that couch every week. So we're pleased to, administration is pleased to recommend the contract. Councilmember Bursch.
I make the motion to approve AB 1712005.
Second. Moved by Councilmember Bursch and seconded by Councilmember Kennedy. Is there more discussion on the contract for the Horton Crossing? Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. And the contract has been awarded to Reichart and Eby. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
Going on to the final stretch, I would like to invite Councilmember Bursch for our last meeting tonight to stand up front with me. We have some parting gifts, some door prizes, and whatever you
coin.
Might you get here. We have not always agreed, but we've remained friends for 4 years. I appreciate your devotion to the city, to downtown businesses, all things cupcakes, and wish you success in everything that you do. And the city has been honored to have you serve. I suspect we're going to see you around for a very long time. And so we want to congratulate you on 4 years of service. First thing you get is one of these rare coins. And they keep running down, but we have a few left. By ordinance, council decided outgoing council members get the centennial coin, which is, I think, silver and gold. Who knows what else is in there? They're really cool. I haven't gotten one yet for some reason.
Coin if you...
Oh, there you go. But here's the coin. And, of course, what would a retirement be without a plaque, which says, presented to Carol Bursch
City of Ferndale, Washington, in recognition of 4 years of service on the Ferndale City Council. Congratulations and thank you for your service.
Thank you.
No touch. after all the news, I don't touch anybody in my life. There you go. And guess what? That's all the mayor has for mayor reports. Council reports. Looking across the room. Council members are.
Parks Board has finished their final art piece for the year. It's up at Griffin Town Park, so go check it out.
We will do that.
Called the Orange Tunnels.
Orange Tunnels. Councilmember Taylor.
The Bellingham International Airport is trying to put together a final master plan, and they're looking for comments and review. If anybody's interested in providing additional comments between now and the end of the year, their master plan is currently posted on the Port of Bellingham's website.
Very good. Other council members. Going on, Councilmember Kennedy.
Just a quick thank you to city staff for preparing all the homework here. It's well done. It's easily digestible, so I want to say thank you. And thank you to council members for also doing your homework. Thank you.
Very good. Well said. Thank you. Public Works. Start with Public Works first. Do we need to help?
I'm passing around a document. It's just an initial draft, but what we're planning on doing is distributing this to downtown business owners, especially in vacant buildings, where we will be looking at the high watermark, if you will, of previous businesses there. International Athletic is a good example, safely there. So we would look at the amount of traffic that generated, as well as the on-site parking that is available to them per code, and then give them these documents that they can then give to tenants that reflect actual conditions. It's not a change in legislation or anything like that, but it's repackaging actual information so that they can then distribute it to...
Gives some certainty to investors.
It gives them a
excellent.
Good idea and
excellent.
It answers a question that we often
It's a
get.
Big question, yeah, parking.
So it's based on the one of the uses from whenever, or how did you pick a use?
We would be going back in time in our DeLorean to see what the highest use, most impactful use was in history. Sometimes we won't know that.
Okay.
Since we're a relatively small town, we can tend to figure it out, but if someone were to say, gosh, we had a more intensive use that you did not recognize, we can certainly evaluate that. And I think the Public Works Director also.
Is that, I was going to comment on that.
Yeah. Is that, will we know what they had at that time and then what they paid for the traffic impact fees at that time?
What we would look at is the equivalency. So, you know, again, Safeway, for example, we'd look at a grocery store. It had a certain trip generation for a grocery store, and therefore those fees, those impacts were mitigated at that time, however they mitigated for it. We talked.
You're going to need that DeLorean.
Well, and what we'll do and what the it's city okay. of Bellingham and several other jurisdictions do is they say, they look at it as if it was mitigated for in the same manner as it would now. So we'd be able to say, okay, this is a kind of one-to-one mitigation. Instead of saying, okay, gosh, you know, at that time the city was doing this, it would say, this would be the equivalent fees that were paid.
So you can't go back and collect from a current tenant fees that Safeway didn't pay because they didn't have fees?
That would be correct.
That's all ground there, I think. Exactly. Do you have something else, Mr. Johnson?
I just wanted to say to Councilmember Bursch that I think we're still on for the 11th for the bathroom. So I don't want you to...
She's going to come knock on your door.
You get the first... Finance. Chief Turner, I'm going to jump back to you. How was your first year? You're almost up on it, aren't you?
About 10 months.
Yeah,
so far, so good.
Still on probation, I think.
So far, so good.
Keep behaving.
So, Mayor, Council, and staff, I just want to take a few minutes of your time and update you on our jail. And as you know, are well aware, the jail did not pass the vote here recently. So what does that mean to us? The county has hired a firm to evaluate the current needs of the building itself, bricks and mortar, how to shore things up and make sure that the building is safe. That firm has been hired, and they're going to start that process, but obviously they haven't come back with an estimate yet. The county's estimating that at about $6 million. What that means to us is that cost is going to get passed on to the jail users. During that time, prior to the project, the amount of prisoners are going to be capped at 150. That's a pretty good reduction from where we're at now. During renovations, that cap's going to reduce to 100. We will have decreased bookings, and what that means to us is we're going to have to try and explain to our citizens why I can't incarcerate somebody that's just possibly victimized them or their family or friend or relative. County's going to provide booking classifications throughout this process and either going to release, transport, or accept a suspect into jail. All the felons and gross misdemeanors they're planning on keeping. However, if those numbers increase above the 100 and 150 caps, they'll be transported to Yakima. Right now, Yakima transports 2 to 3 times a week for free. Once we get into those numbers, there's going to be discussions on cost. It's rare for one of our prisoners to be transported, but those percentages are going to drastically increase as we go through this process. Below that, people are either just going to be refused or released. So when those different directions come to us from the jail, that passes out to patrol, and then the patrol officers can determine then if someone's even going to be allowed into jail. When that happens, we either have to refer that person to the prosecutor's office or just basically give them a ticket, and either way they get released. Costs. What does this cost for us? So right now, as a city, we pay a per diem of $101 a day per prisoner. That cost is going to go up about 44.5%. We're going to be paying $146 a day per prisoner. And as a comparison, Skagit, their new jail, they're charging right now $140 a day per prisoner, $200 a day with medical, where if we have a prisoner with a medical need, those direct costs come to us. So with that, our current year-to-date jail expenditure is $242,056. If those increases were on this year's money, it would be reflected at $349,771. Difference at $107,715. So we're averaging between 9 and 10 prisoners per day. It fluctuates. And our court and probation office do a very excellent job keeping the judge informed to keep rotating people out as needed to try and keep those costs down. And as a reminder, we're under state code that we can only pass on about $100 a day max per prisoner to the prisoner, which we then try and recoup civilly, but we very rarely get paid on. So I just wanted to give you an update on how the new jail or lack of a new jail is going to affect us.
So the booking costs this new year could be around $400,000.
Yep. Yeah. I anticipate them going up quite a bit.
The cost of crime, ladies and gentlemen.
Cost of doing business.
Quick question.
Councilmember Watson and Councilmember Wilson.
So Bellingham's been using home monitoring rather than putting people in jail. They wear their little ankle monitor. Is that something? I know it costs less to do the ankle monitoring than it does to actually put them in the jail. Is that an option for us? Could we piggyback on the Bellingham contract?
We used to do it as a city. It wasn't cost effective. The price of the equipment and the monitoring and the call-outs exceeded what value we were getting from it. It's something we could look at. There's some other programs I've been talking with our probation department and the courts on looking at doing. Everything from community service to paying immediate fines, things like that. So there are things that we're trying to do to mitigate, and that's just one of them. We'll know a little bit better once actual costs start coming in. Our jail contract ends June of 2018.
Okay.
So a new jail contract will start July 1 till June of 2019. So if the costs, when the costs go up, it'll affect our half year this year and at least a full year this next budget year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Sir?
I'm looking the other way. What about, with Skagit's new jail, is that full? Is there any chance we could rent
it? It's not full, and as of now, they haven't decided if they're going to accept any transports or not. I know they're looking at it, but I think they want to get more time under their belt to try and establish what their normal numbers might or might not be. But there is some room in the end down that way.
Council Member Kennedy.
Thank you.
Just a question, point of clarification. You said it costs $146 a day for an inmate?
Correct.
I mean, you can tell me my math is wrong, but that's $53,000 a year per person.
Correct. It's not cheap.
I know some college graduates that don't make that. So that's my statement, certainly. So my question for you, and I appreciate all the data, it's very helpful. Is there a chance that any violent offenders would be released simply because we don't have room and surrounding transfer areas don't have room?
It's a possible scenario. The jail will work with us to try and not do that, but it's a possible scenario. If we have some, and the Sheriff's Department is very, very open to those types of approaches from us, where we would say, here's Mr. so-and-so, and we really don't want him to get out because of potential to reoffend, re-victimize the victim. And they will do their best to work with us. But having said that, there might be a chance in the near future with these restrictions that they just don't have the capacity.
Thank you.
I am reminded of that great philosopher and civic leader Jesse Jackson saying that Yale was cheaper than jail. So I think that's what the chief has said.
Yep.
Okay.
Anything else? Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Sweeney, Communications Officer.
Three quick points, actually. As we enter the snowy season, I know that all of you will be frantically trying to find where the priority snow routes are. Have no fear. They're right there on the homepage, cityofferndale.org. There's a big old button. I'd say you can't miss it. People always do. But it's right up there as one of the icons on the homepage.
It has snowflake.
It is not a snowflake. Sam's coding did not agree with my coding. So it's a question mark, or an I. It's an I. See, right there in the middle. Snow information. Click it. It has all your snow information. Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Speaking of snow, last February we had the frost bubble, which of course caused all sorts of chaos to our streets. And just now I got the final batch of paperwork from FEMA. We'll be getting $25,000 reimbursed from FEMA for all of the hard work that was put into keeping our roads open. So thank you to Public Works for giving me all that documentation, and you can see how quickly the federal government moves on those sorts of things. And finally, Ferndale Made officially 100% for sure launched. It's up, ferndalemade.com. As you and people you interact with discover good, positive news stories about all the great business stuff that's happening in Ferndale, we're not becoming a news site, but when a business is rolling out a new product or doing something fun and we're proud of it, we want to remind people about some of the great things that are Ferndale Made. So send it to me, and we'll make sure it gets up on the site.
Make sure we haven't missed any businesses.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of little businesses.
So if they make something, let us know. Yeah. Hashtag Ferndale Made.
Even smaller businesses, because the mayor had us. We had the honey folks and the woman who makes the chocolates and does all those other cool sewing projects. Those are great projects.
Fair enough. City clerk.
I have nothing.
Before I ask Councilmember Birch to make a motion to adjourn, which I will in a moment, I want to thank staff for your hard work this year. We will not be having a final committee meeting or a final council meeting unless you really want to come back. Okay, I didn't think so. Same with council.
And we will not have that committee meeting prior to the first meeting of the year.
So
the December 29th committee meeting.
Yeah. So our first New Year meeting will be on a Tuesday night because of the holiday weekend. We will be swearing in a new council member to replace outgoing Councilmember Birch. She's here tonight, Ms. Hansen. We look forward to doing that. We also will be swearing in for a repeat performance, Councilmember Watson and Councilmember Kennedy. And I appreciate your hard work this year, Council. And we'll go at it again next year with new challenges. And be thankful you're not a county council member. They have quite a job ahead of them with this jail. So, Councilmember Birch?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.